On February the 9th, 2013, tens of thousands of people took part in marches across Ireland to protest against the bank bailouts, the debt that had run up, and the austerity being imposed by the Irish government in order to make ordinary working people pay back those debts run up by speculative banking. The protest was organised by the Irish Congress of Trade Unions, but many of the larger contingents of it came from things like the campaign against the household and water tax. This video will show you the entire length of the march as it passed at the point I was taking photographs. It took about 44 minutes to pass in total. However, I've edited out the parts where the march was static, and also some bits where I was on mobile phone calls to people.
A 100 years, 1,000 years, we're marching on the road. The going isn't easy yet, we've got a heavy load. Oh, we've got a heavy load. The way is blind with blood and sweat, and death sings in our ears. But time is marching on our side, we will defeat the years. Oh, we will defeat the years. We men of bone, of shrunken shank, our only treasured earth. Women who carry at the breast, heirs to the hungry earth. Oh, heirs to the hungry earth. Speak with one voice, we march, we rest, and march again upon the years. Sons of our sons are listening to hear the Chartist cheers. Oh, to hear the Chartist cheers.
For what died the sons of Roisin? Was it fame? For what died the sons of Roisin? Was it fame? For what flowed Ireland's blood and rivers that began when Brian chased the dame, and did not cease nor has not ceased with the brave sons of 16? For what died the sons of Roisin? Was it fame? For what died the sons of Roisin? Was it greed? For what died the sons of Roisin? Was it greed? Was it greed that drove Wolfe Tone to a pauper's death in a cell of cold, wet stone? Will German, French, or Dutch inscribe the epitaph of Emmet when we've sold enough of Ireland to be but strangers in it? For what died the sons of Roisin? Was it greed? To whom do we owe our allegiance today? To whom do we owe our allegiance today? To those brave men who fought and died, that Roisin live again with pride. Her sons at home to work and sing, her youth to dance and make her valleys ring, or the faceless men who for mark and a dollar betray her to the highest bidder. To whom do we owe our allegiance today? For what suffer our patriots today? For what suffer our patriots today? They have a language problem, so they say. How to write "no trespass" must grieve their heart full sore. We got rid of one strange language, now we're faced with many, many more. For what suffer our patriots today?
In Dublin City in 1913, the boss was rich and poor were slaves. the women working and the children hungry. Then on came Larkin like a mighty wave. The workman cringed when the busman thundered, and just 10 hours was his weekly chore. He asked for little and less was granted, less getting little he would ask for more. Then God sent Larkin, so dark and handsome, a mighty man with a mighty tongue, the voice of justice, the voice of freedom, and he was gifted and he was young. And God sent Larkin in 1913, a mighty man with a mighty tongue. He raised the workers, he gave them courage, he was a leader, a worker's son. In the month of August, the boss man told us, no union men for him could work. We stood by Larkin and we told the boss man that we'd fight or die, but we would not shirk. 8 months we fought and 8 months we starved. We stood by Larkin through thick and thin. But foodless homes and the crying of children, they broke our hearts and we could not win. Then Larkin left us, we seemed defeated. The night was black for the working man. And on came Connolly with hope and counsel. His motto was that we'd rise again. In Dublin City in 1916, the English soldiers, they burned the town. They shelled the buildings and shot our leaders. The harp was buried beneath the crown. They shot McDermott and Pearson Plunkett. They shot McDonough and Clark the Brave. From bleak Kilmaine they took their buddies to Arbor Hill, to a quicklime grave. But most of all, of the 7 heroes, I'll sing the praise of James Connolly. The voice of justice, the voice of freedom, who gave his life that men might be free.
Still growing November, when blossoms still bloom from each tree, when leaves are still green in December, it's then that our land shall be free. I wonder valleys, and still through my sorrow I see a land that has never known freedom, and only our rivers run free. We drink to the death of her man, those men who would rather have died than live in the gold chains of bondage, who bring back their rights for denied. But where are you now when we need you? What burn where the flame used to be? Are you gone like the snows of last winter, and only our rivers run free? Sweet is life, but we're cold. Thank you. shepherds from free.
Take back the power. As we march today, we do so with our trade unions hamstrung and weakened. We have suffered the effects of 6 austerity budgets in 4 years. Our income and standards of living have been slashed and our public services decimated. Young workers in particular have their wages and working conditions savaged. Workers in both public and private sector have suffered pay cuts and job losses. In the public sector, following a 12-15% pay cut in 2010, the Croke Park Agreement was sold to us as the only way in which pay and conditions could be protected. It has, instead, provided the cover for a 3.1 billion cut in the public sector pay bill and the loss of 28,000 jobs. Newly qualified teachers, for example, now start on a net salary which is 27% lower than the 2008 starting salary. Extending the suffering. And in January, with no consultations with the membership, the union leaders went into talks on a so-called extension of the CPA. This time, the government are saying that they want another 1 billion in cuts over the next 3 years. The list of demands were described by the General Secretary of the Association of Garda Sergeants and Inspectors as being akin to being given a choice of whether we wanted to be shot with a handgun or a shotgun. It should be clear that there is nothing to talk about. Union leaders should have politely told the government what to do with their invitation to talks and should have set about organising resistance to the coming attacks. But they didn't, and the question for each of us is, what are we willing to do about it? Because while it is easy to blame the leadership, a more difficult and searching problem is, what are the alternatives? Blame. How has it come to this? We can blame the union leaders, and there's no doubt that the fact that politically many of them were tied to Labour and Fianna Fáil is relevant. We can blame their lack of ambition, the constant repetition of the mantra of there is no alternative. We can blame the fact that most of the union leaders see their role as being to mediate between the members and government stroke employers, rather than to wholeheartedly represent the members. All of that is true, but blaming the leaders is not enough. Yes, they have negotiated our defeat. Yes, they have presided over a complete loss of solidarity among workers. But many union members have gone along with it. Whether through fear, through apathy, or through hopelessness, many union members have kept their heads down, accepted the pain, and gone along with the idea that there is no alternative. Others have become totally disillusioned with the union, and their anger at the leadership has made them walk away from seeing the union as a collective organ of struggle. Many members have literally walked with their feet and no longer take any active part in union meetings or structures. Others have been content to continue to blame the leaders, the implication being that if we could replace the current leadership with a stronger, a more left-wing one, things would be different. But many have failed to engage with their fellow workers and union members and attempt to break that sense of fear, apathy, hopelessness, or anger. Take responsibility. It is time for every one of us to take responsibility for trying to turn things around. We have to stop referring to the union as something outside of ourselves and begin to see that our unions are ours. We have to stop seeing head office and the officials as anything other than employees of the union, our employees who should be taking their instruction from us. We have to convince our fellow workers that there is a benefit to engaging with the union structures and organising to resist. In your workplace and in your union, that means you have to take on that responsibility. There's nobody else to do it for you. By booing Jack O'Connor or any of the rest of the leaders who have stolen our movement from us, we can let off steam. Shouting for a general strike now might make us feel more militant. But the reality is that right now the majority, maybe even a large majority, of union members are unlikely to join a general strike. There is a huge job of work to be done to convince the fearful, the apathetic, the hopeless, and the angry that the future lies in standing together in solidarity and that things don't have to be as they are. Alternative. In Spain, Greece, and Italy, they've had general strikes. But the austerity attacks continue. So a general strike in and of itself is not the panacea. It will not bring about an end to austerity. But it will at least register resistance. It will show solidarity with all those who are subjected to the savage cuts and cast into a life of poverty due to this doomed tactic. It will register a knowledge that the rich are getting a free ride through this depression. It will show unity. But it will not be enough without an alternative being put forth. That alternative will come from action, not from negotiations about further cuts. As we participate in action, we will get a sense of our own power. We will begin to realize that things don't have to be as they are. That's where you come in as a union member. So if you wish to boo the leadership, go for it. If you wish to shout for a general strike now, go for it. But you know that more is needed. Go back to your branch and look at ways of taking steps that register your resistance at ground level. Support those who are resisting cuts. Build opposition to the Croke Park Agreement's extension. Let's begin to show practical, pragmatic solidarity with those in struggle. Let's say no more cuts, anywhere or to any service. Let's collectively have the confidence to say we're not taking any more of this. Let's encourage non-cooperation and support other groups of workers so that they are not victimized for refusing to cooperate with the austerity agenda. Property tax. We are immediately presented with an obvious practical example of how this could be put into action. A massive campaign of boycott last year forced the government to rethink its strategy on the household tax. Now they have come after us again with another home tax, this time calling it a property tax. That legislation introducing the property tax is extremely draconian, and the tax cannot be defeated by a boycott alone. The most obvious way in which government plans can be scuppered would be for workers in the Revenue Commissioners, members of the CPSU and the PESU, to refuse to cooperate with implementation of the tax. Union members and those two unions should raise this as a possibility and should begin to campaign within their unions to convince the relevant groups of workers to take such a stance. But the rest of us cannot just leave it to them. Left on their own, they would be crushed, and some of those doing the kicking would be the current leadership of our unions. But let's imagine a situation where over the next couple of months, within the unions and in wider society, we win people to the idea of a militant fight back against the property tax. Let's imagine that we build a campaign of protest in our communities, at council meetings, TD's offices, indeed everywhere we are, that makes opposition to the property tax that central political issue of the day. Let's imagine that the opposition is militant and forceful and stating very clearly that while attempts are made to foist this tax on us, we will not allow normal business to continue. In the context of having built such an atmosphere of militant protest, the likelihood that union members in the Revenue Commissioners would take action would be greatly increased. And if on top of that we can win other groups of workers to agree that in the event of any worker being disciplined for their refusal to implement this austerity tax, they too will be ready to take action, we will have transformed the political situation. This is the type of movement we need to build, and we need to do it now. It won't be easy, but anything worthwhile never is. The question is, are you willing to do your bit? Let's do it, let's get stuck in and see what's possible. That text was from a leaflet produced by the Workers' Solidarity Movement. The WSM is an anarchist organisation which has been active in Ireland since the 1980s. They have branches in Dublin and Cork and members and supporters in many other areas around the country. Their members are active in their trade unions at local, branch and district level. They're also involved in many campaigns such as the Campaign Against Household and Water Tax, the Abortion Rights Campaign, Free Education for Everyone, and many others. If you want to find out more about the Workers' Solidarity Movement and what we stand for, you can look up our website at www.wsm.ie, or if you want to get continuous updates, follow us on Facebook at Workers' Solidarity Movement, or on Twitter at Worker Solidarity. The 6th of April 2013 will see the return of the Dublin Anarchist Book Fair. This book fair will be number the 8th book fair to be held in Dublin and is titled 1913 to 2013, Rebuilding a Movement from Below. Planning is well underway for the 8th annual Dublin Anarchist Book Fair, which takes place on the weekend of the 6th and 7th of April. Workshops will take place on workplace organising, pro-choice organising, organising to fight deportations, building the fight against property tax. Meetings are being planned on feminism and sex work, anarchism in Barcelona in the lead up to the 1936 revolution, how social history is recorded. There will be a panel discussions on the legacy of 1913 and its lessons for today, the battles against austerity in the PIGS countries. On the Sunday afternoon, we will hold a walking tour focused on the history of banking in Ireland and on the tax shelter that is the IFSC. There will be bookstalls from a wide range of anarchist, libertarian and radical organisations and information stalls from a host of campaigning groups. This is just a small flavour of what is planned for what promises to be a fabulous weekend, so keep the dates free, Saturday 6th and 7th, April 2013. Hope to see you there. Further details of the 2013 Dublin Anarchist Book Fair taking place in Liberty Hall will be found on the WSM website at www.wsm.ie/bookfair and on the Book Fair Facebook page. We'll be publishing those details as they become available. So find us on Facebook if you want to find out.
Poverty, poverty, not, my Lou is a-saying all day. Poverty, poverty, not, governor's too skinny to pay. Poverty, poverty, not, keeping one eye on the clock. I know I can guckle when I hear my shuttle go. Poverty, poverty, not.
Up every morning at 5, I wonder that we keep alive. Tired and yawning, another cold morning, it's back to the dreary old drive.
Poverty, poverty, not, my loo is a-saying all day. Poverty, poverty, not, governor's too skinny to pay. Poverty, poverty, not, keeping one eye on the clock. I know I can guckle when I hear my shuttle go. Poverty, poverty, not.
Oh dear, we're going to be late. Gaffer has stood at the gate. We're out of pocket, our wages they'll dock it. We'll have to buy grub on the slate.
Poverty, poverty, not, my loo is a-saying all day. Poverty, poverty, not, governor's too skinny to pay. Poverty, poverty, not, keeping one eye on the clock. I know I can guckle when I hear my shuttle go. Poverty, poverty, not.
And while all our wages they bring, we're often short of a string. While we are fretting with gaffer for snatching, we know to his brass he will cling.
Poverty, poverty, not, my loom is a-saying all day. Poverty, poverty, not, governor's too skinny to pay. Poverty, poverty, not, keeping one eye on the clock. I know I can guckle when I hear my shuttle go. Poverty, poverty, not.
Sometimes a shuttle flies out and gives some poor woman a glance. There she lies bleeding, but nobody's heeding. Oh, who's going to carry her out?
Poverty, poverty, not, my loom is a-saying all day. Poverty, poverty, not, governor's too skinny to pay. Poverty, poverty, not, keeping one eye on the clock. I know I can guckle when I hear my shuttle go. Poverty, poverty, not.
Oh dear, my poor head it sings. I should have woven three strings. My threads are breaking and my back is aching. Oh dear, how I wish I had wings.
Poverty, poverty, not, my loom is a-saying all day. Poverty, poverty, not, gaffer's too skinny to pay. Poverty, poverty, not, keeping one eye on the clock. I know I can guckle when I hear my shuttle go. Poverty, poverty, not.
Poverty, poverty, not. Poverty, poverty, not. poverty, 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 poverty,
I speak with candor one night in slumber, my mind did wander near to Athlone, to the center station of this Irish nation, where a congregation unto me was shown. Beyond my counting, upon a mountain, near to a fountain that clearly ran, the earth did tremble, I will not dissemble, as they assembled for the rights of man. All clad in green, I thought I seen a virtuous queen who was grave and old, saying, children dear, oh, do not fear, but come and hear what I will unfold. This fertile country for 7 centuries since his Strongbow's entry unto our land has been kept under by foes outnumbered and robbed and plundered of the rights of man. My cause you chided and so derided, when all divided, alas, you know, and in disorder round Erin's border, strife, grief, and murder has laid you low. Let each communion detest a disunion, and in love and union join hand in hand, and believe in Grania and the proud Britannia, no more shall rob you of the rights of man. Through the azure sky I then did spy a man to fly, and he fast descends. Straight away comes down upon the ground, where Erin round had her bosom friends. His dazzling mitre and cross was a brighter than the stars by night or the midday sun, and in accents rare I do declare, he prayed success unto the rights of man. Then the population and the congregation in exultation agreed to part. They shook hands like brothers and kissed each other, whilst the friendship smothered each Irish heart. They separated, exhilarated, and animated at what went on. And as day was breaking, poor Shields awaking cried, still be true unto the rights of man.